to come to me. And the people gather around. They are all they can bring. I know about it more than that. And then I sound the same. The revolution starts now. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, brought to you by New West Records. And yeah, we're that weird little music show on Sunday nights, and we play music around here. And for the most part, we have friends come in and bring their music in, stuff they think we ought to be listening to. This week, our guest is Michael Ondaatje, who wrote my favorite book in the world, which is called Coming Through Slaughter, and he also wrote The English Patient. And I'm very proud to say I ended up in one of your books one time. Yeah, that was one of my favorite things that's ever happened to me.
And now you're in Ian McEwan novels, too.
That's kind of cool. I'm actually, the book that I'm working on, I remember at one point thinking that I needed to return the favor, but I can't because the book that I'm writing is set in 1963, so I can't put you in this book. I'll have to find a way to sort that out. But we're here about playing music, and this is, you know, you've written a lot about that had to do with music over the years, and you listen to a lot of music. We bumped into each other a couple of times, and I knew this was going to be a good list, and I'd end up learning something. But tell me about Lord Beginner. This is old Calypso stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was living in England when I was a teenager, and that was really the first introduction I got to Calypso. This was like in the late 50s, early 60s, and or late 50s, and this song called Victory Test Match became a huge hit in England. It was the first really popular Calypso song in England, and it stayed in my mind for years. And then just recently, there was a great album brought out called London is a Place for Me, which is an anthology of great Calypso songs from the 50s.
Right.
And there was Lord Beginner, Lord Kitchener, all these guys who went on, you know, and became kind of gods. And this song, if you don't know cricket, it'll be like the wasteland for you.
Right. And it is. There is that strong tradition to this day of cricket in the Caribbean from the days when those islands down there, you know, half of them belonged to England, half of them belonged to Spain. When it, you know, just oversimplifying it a little bit, that's basically what the lay of the land was. This is Lord Beginner on Air America Radio.
Cricket, lovely cricket. At last there I saw it. Cricket, lovely cricket, at last where I saw it. Yardley tried his best, Goddard won the test. They gave the crowd plenty fun, the second test on West Indies won. With those little pals of mine,
Ramadi and Valentine.
Was there well attire, so they started with Ray and Stallmeyer. Stolly was hitting balls wrong the boundary, but Waddle stopped him at 20. Ray had confidence, so he put up a strong defense. He saw the king was waiting to see, so he gave him a century. With those little pals of mine,
Ramadi and Valentine.
West Indies posting in total was 326 just as usual. When Vesta bowled Cristiani, the whole thing collapsed quite easy. England then went on and made 151. West Indies then had 220 lead. Goddard said that is nice indeed. With those little pals of mine,
Ramadan and Valentine.
Yardley wasn't broken-hearted when the second inning started. Jenkins was like a target, getting the first five into his basket. But Gomez broke him down while Walcott licked them around. He was not out for 168, leaving Yardley to contemplate. The bowling was super fine.
Ramadan and Valentine.
West Indies was feeling homely, their audience had them happy. When Washbrook's century had ended, West Indies voices all blended. Hats went in the air, people shout and jump with all fear. So at Lord's was the scenery, it bound to go down in history. After all was said and done.
Lord Beginner on Air America Radio, Michael Ondaatje brought that into play. And that's, you know, it is, if you, I don't know anything about cricket. I finally began to figure football out after spending years and years going to England. But cricket is beyond me.
Cricket is zen, you know. And as I said, the Ramadan and Valentine, that is the chorus. These are the two great spin bowlers who were there.
Right.
And you know, in Sri Lanka too, you had a lot of cricket being played. You know.
Right. Yeah. You see, in Jamaica, I spent some time misbehaving in Jamaica in the 1980s. Went on a fairly regular basis, but you see cricket played in this completely, especially for Americans being outside, this totally working class setting on the beach, where it's a game that everyone knows and everyone plays and everyone aspires to play. This is sort of a forerunner to, all the reggae music that I know about, probably comes from one film, if you're an American, called The Harder They Come. And it was sort of the culmination of, Chris Blackwell went back and forth between England and Jamaica as a kid, because he sort of grew up with one foot in one place and one in the other, and literally started selling masters out of the trunk of his car. And we started to hear those records here, sort of one and two at a time, My Boy Lollipop, which was the very first master that he ever placed, and, the Desmond Dekker records, The Israelites, was a hit here. But then The Harder They Come came along, and you sort of got this overview of Jamaican music, and which included this really great song called Johnny Too Bad, which I sort of grew up playing. This, you kind of throw me a curveball here and come up with my own version of Johnny Too Bad.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you how you made it, because I think you recorded here and then sent it off.
Yeah, I did it in Nashville with a band called the V-Roys, who were on my record label, and then we sent the track off. We released that version, but then we sent the track off to some guys that were sort of responsible for producing and mixing the first UB40 records in Birmingham in England, because Birmingham has this great tradition of, Jamaican and music from other parts of the West Indies that has sort of grown up there. And, these singers, and this toaster is called C-Fax, and the singers, they're all part of this remix that was done in England. In fact, this is my version of Johnny Too Bad on Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, brought to you by New West Records. Listening to the Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, brought to you by New West Records. Our guest this week was Michael Ondaatje, and I always end up beating people over the head and shoulders and probably embarrassing you from time to time when you run across it in print about Coming Through Slaughter, just because I love everything that you write. I'm a huge fan, but Coming Through Slaughter, I think, is just such a unique story, just from somebody that, you know, I the kind of songs that I write are sort of based in, they are storytelling. They're for the most part, you know, they come from an oral tradition where I grew up. The guys that my dad hunted deer with that, you know, that could tell good stories around the campfire were as big an influence on me as other songwriters were. And the connection between, you know, music and literature and this book, I mean, Buddy Bolden, you know, trying to explain to people who Buddy Bolden was and how important he was, you know, it's pretty tough to do, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was especially tough for me because I'm someone who grew up in Sri Lanka. Here I'm writing about a guy, you know, in New Orleans.
At the turn of the last century. Yeah.
But, you know, I think I just became totally obsessed with the guy when I was writing it, and I was, you know, it was about it over.
And how did you become aware of Buddy Bolden's existence?
I just read somewhere that this was a man who'd gone mad in a parade.
Right.
And that's all I knew. I thought, my God, someone to go mad, which is a personal thing in a very public place by itself, is a killer, you know.
Right.
And I also grew up, when I was in England, the one thing I knew I loved was jazz.
Right.
And so, I mean, I used to listen to Chris Barber and Humphrey Lyttelton and all these guys there. And gradually, when I came to North America, I started discovering the sources of the music, you know, going back to Louis Armstrong and then hearing about and doing research on Bolden. So I went to New Orleans and I went to the archives and found all these. There were no recordings by him, of course, but there were recordings around that time.
Right, and that's the thing that fascinated me about Coming Through Slaughter when I realized what it was the idea that, you know, Louis Armstrong was hugely influential, and Buddy Bolden, like, lived at a time just before. He actually lived long enough to have recorded, but he basically, you know,
he was in a hospital.
He was in a hospital when by the time they started to make records. So none of us know what Buddy Bolden sounded like, but Louis Armstrong knew what Buddy Bolden sounded like, and Louis Armstrong and several other people of the period, you know, talked about, but Buddy Bolden's name always came up as someone who had influenced him, and that's kind of mind blowing.
Yeah, and there was a guy called Freddie Capard who, in fact, tried to play like Bolden, and he is recorded.
Right.
And the most haunting thing I've heard was that Bunk Johnson, there's a recording of Bunk Johnson whistling the way Bolden played.
Good Lord. Most people remember Louis Armstrong much later when he was making much more commercial recordings, which I think are great recordings on their own. But this is a very, very early Louis Armstrong recording.
Thank you.
that's Louis Armstrong on Air America Radio. And this is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records. You're listening to The Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records on Air America Radio. And our guest this week is Michael Ondaatje. And you've lived in Canada for what?
Since about 63.
Yeah.
So God knows. The longest part of my life, anyway.
Right. I spend a lot of time up there. And I think that I for some reason, was bigger, you know, at the peak of my career in Canada than I was anyplace else. And there's no, you know, explaining that. But the one place I played arenas, you know, was in Canada. And so which will make you sort of attached to a place, you know. Mm-hmm. But one thing I always knew, I think, coming from a coffee house and folk music background, was there's a singer-songwriter tradition up there that's really, really strong. It goes back to, you know, Gordon Lightfoot and Ian Tyson and
Bruce Coburn.
Bruce Coburn, who was on the show just a few weeks ago. Murray McLaughlin, who I think is a great songwriter that isn't heard anywhere near enough here. But you brought some music, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of young players, like Al Tuck is a young guy in the Maritimes, and Susie Angalender, who goes by the name of O Susanna, and a man named Ron Hines, who lives in Newfoundland, who's, I think, a really great songwriter.
Newfoundland is its own thing, a thing unto itself. If you've ever ridden the Caribou, which is the ferry coming back from Newfoundland to the mainland, and kissed the cod, as it were, they have this whole thing. They have this awful stuff called screech, which is sort of the indigenous panty remover in that part of the world. There's music that doesn't sound like music from anywhere else in that part of the country.
There's an episode that happened in Canada called the Ocean Ranger oil rig, which got kind of washed off, and you know, about 25 years ago, all hands were killed. And some years later, Ron Hines wrote this song called Atlantic Blue, which is about it. And it happened on Valentine's Day, which is sort of important for the song.
So familiar. whispers my name as the night comes in. And whose wish never fails to find my vacant heart on Valentine's, as I do at Lana Blue. My heart is as cold. My heart is as cold.
It's Ron Hines on Air America Radio. Our guest this week is Michael Ndaje. And Oh Susanna was on a Canadian festival that I did about 2 weeks ago. Just her and a banjo player.
Yeah,
and it's really, really, really cool. And this is Oh Susanna, Black Dirt Road. On Air America Radio. This is Steve Earle. You're listening to The Steve Earle Show, brought to you by New West Records.
In our thunder, don't let them steal it out from under the place in your heart where you're free. Yeah, the place in your heart where you're free.
Revolution starts now in your own backyard, in your own backyard.
This is Steve Earle, and you're listening to The Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, and we're brought to you by New West Records, and our guest this week is Michael Ondaatje, and he's brought in some great stuff. This is something, I always learn something is when I did this show, which is one of the main reasons I dig doing it. Jesse De Natale, this is a San Francisco songwriter
that
you ran across.
He's a young writer. His first album was Shangri-La West, and he's got a new one out called Soul Parade right now. Yeah.
And this is from Shangri-La West, and this is called All in the Name.
The boy boys sit and play their guitars all day. Out in the noonday sun.
Jesse De Natale on Air America Radio. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, he's very good.
And that's we'll have to watch out for that. I love my job. The stuff that you listen to never ceases to amaze me. You run across a lot of songwriters. I mean, a lot of stuff that's about trying to keep songwriting up to the level of some sort of literature.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I mean, I think every writer is a frustrated songwriter or a frustrated artist in some kind.
Or the other way around. Everybody wants to do something. I'm sitting here struggling trying to finish a novel, but it's funny. Back in the 70s, I lived in San Miguel Allende in Mexico, and I had friends down there who were writers and painters, and I had a writer friend of mine tell me, you know, hey, you know, you may be operating in one of the few, you know, the forms of literature that actually works in this day and age, because it's literature people can consume when they're driving their car.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dylan did, you know, from Bob Dylan on, it arguably, you know, can be literature. And there's so many possibilities now, ways that people can get music out there and be heard, and, you know, which brings us to Ani DiFranco, who sort of decided that she was going to control what her career was going to be and what it was going to do.
Yeah, and she's, you know, she's a new tribe, you know, she's a bit like Martha Wainwright, too, you know, I mean, she's got tremendous guts,
Martha, since she was really little, and I think when she was about 14 or 15, the first time she came up to me with a tape of about four songs, because she knew that I had a record label, so absolutely fearless. But this has been a gas. But we're gonna leave you with Ani DiFranco and Ani DiFranco on Air America Radio. Ani DiFranco on Air America Radio, and our guest this week has been Michael Ondaatje. This has been a guest. New book on the way?
Yeah, it's coming out next spring.
Cool. This is Steve Earle, and you've been listening to The Steve Earle Show on Air America Radio, brought to you by New West Records. Good night.